So today we're kicking off a series called Kids These Days, and it is a common occurrence in our cultural moment to complain about generations that are younger than we might find ourselves to be. We can use dismissive and derisive language to talk about kids these days. You know, kids these days, they ain't got no respect. You know, kids these days, they don't know how to work hard. Kids these days, they're always on their tablets. Have you guys heard this type of language before? Do you want to know something? Do you know who's influencing the kids these days? Where do you think they learned all those things from? Kids these days, it's easy to complain, but one of the things that we believe, as Don mentioned a moment ago, is that we're not only a bunch of misfits, we're also generational misfits. We don't commonly find that generations listen to each other with grace and respect and compassion. So today we're going to listen. In the book of Philippians, it says this. This is Philippians chapter 2. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love and any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. So that text guides us into a posture of elevating the needs and concerns of others. And we want to listen to kids these days, because it is our opportunity to bless and to serve and to point them towards Jesus, to encourage. And so let us listen today. I'm going to have an illustrious panel join me today. Why don't you guys come on up? And if you guys would please welcome up our panel as they join us here. Now, as a fellow young person myself, I thought, you know, I would dress also cool because I know that this is definitely the style. And you guys like Rush, right? The band Rush?
Actually, yes, I do.
Rush. Yeah, we got Rush Band there, and it's a Hawaiian Rush shirt, which I know is really in style. These days, as fellow young people, we know those that's true. And so thank you so much for joining me here. We are excited to hear from you today. So I'd love for you guys to introduce yourselves. So who are you, and what grade are you going into? What school are you representing?
My name's Sophia. I'm going into eighth grade, and I go to Greenway Middle School.
I'm Ava. I'm going into seventh grade, and I'm glad to go to Explore Middle School.
I'm Samantha. I'm going to be a senior at Pinnacle.
I'm Jonathan. I'm going to seventh grade at Desert Shadows.
I'm Braden, and I'm going to be a junior at PV.
And I'm Caleb, and I'm a doctoral student at Fuller Seminary. Also, also a fellow young person still in school. So we just have so much in common. So one of the questions that I think would be really good to get us started is one we heard in the video. What is something that adults you know think is cool that is actually cringe? Anyone? Everything someone said. Something that adults are doing or they think is cool, but it's actually cringe.
Dabbing or flossing.
Dabbing or flossing. Okay, so make note. I'll make note to myself. I just learned how to do those things recently. Yes?
When they dance in public and think it's cool.
When they dance in public. What kind of a setting would,
when you're just, standing in line somewhere and they start dancing and singing and it's just really embarrassing.
Yeah, really embarrassing. Sounds horrible.
I'd have to second the video with trying to use modern-day slang. Doesn't matter if you use it right. Most parents get it wrong, though. It's just really weird to hear you guys say, no cap.
When you say you guys, you mean adults.
Yeah, yeah, you guys.
Oh, yeah, you guys. Not you.
Not you.
So what would be, some words that would make, what would be some words that are please don't say those words?
Bussin'.
Bussin', okay.
Lit. I haven't heard a single person who's young like us say lit in 6 months.
Lit, okay. So it's expired.
So
yep.
Okay, good.
It's definitely expired.
Yeah. What's the life cycle of a cool word? Is it like 4 months, 10 months? Help us out.
3 months, probably.
3 months?
Yeah, it varies.
So you're coaching to us, excuse me, the grown-ups in the room, your coaching would be don't try.
Yeah, just don't try.
Okay, got it. Okay, that's helpful. So thinking about, you know, your peers, your classmates, what are some of the biggest challenges that kids your age face today?
Social media and bullying online, like cyberbullying.
Yeah, so social media and bullying. Can you say, help us understand like what
like, let's say, like this happened to me actually at school. They make accounts and like, they'll post you on it and they'll call you names and like, they think it's cool until it happens to you. Like, I don't know, but like bullying and stuff.
Yeah. So bullying, not only in person, but also through social media, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say getting judged by people.
Yeah, that's a huge challenge. Can you talk a little bit more about
that? If like you do something and someone's like, ew, like that's terrible, like just don't do that. And then like next thing they do, and if that happens to them, like it comes right back at them and it's just really mean for both.
Yeah. How do you think people feel when they experience that?
Really mad or sad.
Really sad or mad, yeah. JJ, you had something.
I don't know what I was gonna say.
That's okay.
I forgot.
Remembering stuff is a challenge.
I found it. When you get out of elementary, there's a lot more like classes and you have 8 periods. So it definitely can get stressful and
it does.
You get stressed out.
Yeah.
A lot.
Talk a little bit, like, how does that feel? Like, you got 8 periods.
I would say English would be, like, one of the hardest because it's a longer period than the others.
Yeah.
And it's...
So you're, like, walking into class and...
It's, like, double the time of being in that class, and it's just...
How does that feel?
It feels... frustrating that it takes this much time when you could be doing other stuff like homework.
Yeah, or dabbing.
Or dabbing, yeah.
No.
I would say that, I guess, kids prioritize the wrong things today. Rather than prioritizing faith with a lot of people I know. And sometimes myself, I'll prioritize something like my extracurriculars over school or over my own faith. Sometimes I'll go hang out with friends instead of going to church. But definitely I see more and more kids will prioritize more adult things, not necessarily more mature things, but things that they should not have access to at this age. And that, I think, is the biggest issue that we're facing. We're prioritizing those wrong things that are not for people of our age, as us young people.
There's also like maturity levels of being immature and mature, like he was talking about, kids doing stuff that it's for much more mature and older folks.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on challenges? Good. What's a problem, something broken in the world that kids your age care about that you think adults don't care about?
Want a gateway to...
Huh? What's a problem that you care about that you think adults care about, don't care about?
Appearance.
What is it?
Appearance.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that.
Like kids in this generation, they care like so much about how they look and like based on what people say, which I've been learning how to like get over that, but parents, they'll just say, you look fine. Nobody's gonna say nothing, or, you know, like don't listen to them. They're just jealous or something, but really like in reality, they're not jealous. Mm. And so I think a lot of kids care about how they look and what they'll say.
I don't know.
I would probably say popularity, because as you know, everyone grows up, there's a stage that really doesn't matter what generation you're from. There's a point in your life where you want to be popular, And as you get older and you mature, you grow out of that. But I feel like today more than ever with social media and all these other ways that people can get access and look into your life, people want to seem cooler no matter what. And popularity is such an important thing to people nowadays, but it's just taken on a different form. So it's more through like their social media rather than like what they're doing at school that makes them popular. And I feel like parents don't really care about that as much. And I feel like kids also shouldn't really care about it as much, but parents should be more hands-on to keep kids, you know, like kind of in check with that.
Something that kids your age care about, you think maybe adults don't care about?
Renegade Waiter.
What is it?
Renegade Waiter.
Help me out here. It's a Fortnite thing. Oh, Fortnite. Okay. Did you dab? Battle pack. That's awesome. So thinking about faith, you mentioned faith a moment ago. What do you think kids these days, like your fellow students or friends, what do you think the general idea of God is? What do they think about God or Christianity, church?
When I go to church, my friends would also be at church, but I would, while I'm listening or watching, they would be goofing off. And I feel like the kids these days prioritize a little more than church, which I think that's
like Fortnite. They put Fortnite.
Yeah, they some I
Fortnite faith, I know, family. Is that the idea?
I know some kids that prefer Fortnite.
Sure, I know some pastors that do too.
Yeah,
I think it's basic knowledge that like. We know who he is, that he's the creator of everything, but going along with what he said, I think that we kids these days prioritize a lot of other things such as entertainment, social media, socializing in general, like hanging out with friends. Like, we'll make plans to like, oh, let's go to Topgolf or let's go do this and that, but when are you making plans to read your Bible? So I think that's like our entire generation.
And as you get older, like more things start coming in, like you have more things coming into your day, like
more responsibilities.
Like school, extracurricular, maybe a job, like that kind of stuff, to where sometimes you can just forget about it and like, now you're only coming to church on this Sunday, and you're not like reading your Bible every night, praying every night, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like your whole Bible.
Yeah,
People should read the whole Bible.
In one night?
One day.
One day.
Cover to cover.
Cover
to cover?
Yeah.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, what do you think that kids these days, your peers, what's their understanding of God or their experience with God or faith?
I think that there's a very sort of skewed idea of who God is today amongst kids. There's a lot of, and I'm not quite sure where it comes from, but there's a lot of ideas between people I've talked to, who I go to school with, and people I'm friends with who aren't Christians that, you know, like God hates certain people, when in all actuality, God doesn't hate people. He hates that sin, the sin that's attached to that person. He doesn't hate the person. He loves the person. But people have this idea, and it's a lot of young kids, too, mainly young kids that I know, that God doesn't like a person because they live a certain lifestyle, and that's just not true. And the only way I feel like I can get these people to learn that is by bringing them to church, but not everyone wants to go to church, and they never really want to experience who God really is. So it's a very different kind of world view on God than, you know, I have, where I've grown up my whole life in the church, and I'm choosing to go deeper into my faith, you know, on my own. So I have a different understanding of who God is than they do, but at the same time, I feel like I can't really bring that understanding to them unless they experience that.
I would say another thing to add on is that people who aren't Christian, I think when they hear the saying, God loves everyone and anything, I think sometimes they think that's a little, like that might be a little too much, but Jesus is the definition of too much. Well,
okay, I like that.
I mean, he's everything to. He's everything. He's
extraordinary.
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 Oh, he might be taking your job after this.
Yeah, dude. Now give me more time to Fortnite.
Wow. Oh my God. You need to stop.
What is something that kids your age fear that you think adults don't know about or don't care about? Something that causes fear.
I think growing up, because it, like, a lot of people are scared of what's coming in life when parents are like, just enjoy the now, but you're more of focusing on of what's coming and what you need to be prepared about. When parents just, they've already gone through that, so they know like how to help you and how to take step by step. But you don't really know what's coming, so you're trying to figure out what you're going to do in situations, whereas they could always help you and you just don't really know what to do.
Kind of like what Ava said, but when an adult goes through what that a child goes through, I think... I forgot.
That's good.
I'd probably say the things that we have access to, not just on the internet, but everything we have access to. And I don't think a lot of parents really realize how much there is that a 12-year-old can get their hands on outside of the house. And I'm not trying to make you overprotective of your kids, but it's worth looking out for. But I feel like a lot of us don't bring the things we see other kids doing or ourselves doing up to our parents because they already have no clue about it. So the thought process is, why bring it up if they don't know? And that's, I think, the biggest fear we have that parents don't have the same fear of.
I think kids don't understand what parents went through when they were their age, but I think parents don't understand what kids their age are going through, because there's a big difference when you were in school. You guys didn't have phones, computers, any of that.
Making him sound ancient.
They are ancient. Whereas kids, we have phones, computers, calculators. What? Did you guys have calculators?
I'll take over your job.
You take it away, man. Here you go. You get the rest.
Here. He was about to take it.
Yeah, so I think that there needs to be a relationship between those, and I think kids need to realize what it was like
in the olden days.
Yeah. Back in my day, yeah. that kind of stuff.
Do you get food at lunchtime?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. We had to hunt ours. Is. Yeah.
You guys have what?
We had to hunt our own food. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back in like the colonial era.
It was crazy. We had to grow it.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did you create?
What? Huh? So back to, I know that's where you were going. So when you hear parents or adults say, when I was your age.
Oh, I hate when I hear that.
How does that make you, how do you feel? So you bring an issue, a problem, a concern, a frustration to a grown-up. We're not going to name names. We're not going to tell everyone who your parents are. We're not going to say that. But any grown-up. And you say, you know, you bring a concern, and they say, well, when I was your age. Does that work?
No.
To make you feel better?
No, because I'm not in their age. It's different. So, like, you keep your thoughts to yourself, and I'll keep mine to mine. Because that was, like, in your day, and we're not in your day anymore. So, like, it's just different.
But I don't know his name, but the guy in the video who said, parents have gone what you've gone through, I think it's good when that, sometimes it's good when that happens, because they might know what you're going through.
Yeah.
To kind of piggyback off of her answer, when I hear, when I was your age, I immediately think, well, that was forever ago. my parents aren't even that old, but I think that was like forever ago. So in my mind, I'm thinking, even though what they say could be exactly what I need to hear for a situation, I think I can't apply it to today's world because it's so different from them growing up to me growing up. So it seems like even if they have the exact answer you need on how to solve a problem or how to get through something, it's not taken as seriously just because of how that sentence was started out with, when I was your age, because it puts us into a completely different mindset than looking for an answer. It sounds like we're being lectured to.
Hmm. Yeah, and it's even though sometimes it can help, it can almost be a little invalidating just because, like, maybe you did go through the same thing, but it's also, like, times are so different with calculators and all. And it's even though it might be similar, it's not the same. So you can't say when I was your age, the exact same thing happened to me when it wasn't the exact same thing. And we're not the exact same person. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
So give us, for those of us, for the people in the room, excuse me, that are not fellow young people, what can adults these days do better that would be a gift to you or be a blessing to you? Would you give us some coaching?
I would say listen first to the whole problem or the whole scenario that your kid gives you, and then try to respond. But instead of being more comparative and using, like don't say I, don't say, but you can, don't use first person, but you can just talk with generalization, if that makes sense.
I think some adults should, when a problem occurs, some adults need to have a new perspective on how the problem is, whereas they're straightforward, when I was your age, that type of stuff.
How do you think adults could approach? Is there something that adults could do?
If it's a problem, then maybe you hear the other person's side, and maybe you look at it from not being your parent, but being your problem solver. And
so ask a lot of questions.
Ask curious. Questions, right. Wondering.
Don't try to say, I know exactly how you feel. I went through the same thing 87 years ago.
Yep.
Before the light bulb or whenever you were a kid.
Before World War II.
What else? Yeah. What coaching would you give to?
Like, sometimes, I'm not saying like all of you guys, but sometimes parents like to turn things into lectures. And I would prefer like being walked through and talked, like, because let's say you're going through something, it would be so much more helpful to have someone guide you and walk you through what you're going, because whatever you're going through won't be forever, it's just a certain period of time. So it would be really helpful to have someone to be there for you and with you. And parents, like, they will, like, turn into a lecture, but instead of a lecture, I'd prefer being, like I said, talked to. And, like, I know what they're feeling. I know they might want to, like,
you know, yell at me or rash out and stuff like that. But you gotta think about what your kid is feeling as well. And, like, your lecture might hurt them even more than what they're going through. So maybe just instead of being a parent, be their friend, you know, be their partner in crying.
I think that, like, I agree a lot with that. Also, like, maybe they could put themselves in, like, your shoe and just think, like, instead of, like, speaking, just think what, like, they're going to say first and just, like, be like, all right, well, that happened to me, and I hated when my parents yelled at me, so maybe I can try to be the parent who doesn't yell and just kind of calm them down and maybe talk through it with them instead of yell, because when my parents yelled at, like, me, it didn't go well. So maybe for my child, I won't yell at them.
So you're, if I understand you right, remember how, maybe for adults, remember how we felt when adults in our day did certain things, and remember that, let it shape how we maybe treat others. Good. Ask a lot of questions, be curious. Don't assume that you know exactly what somebody's feeling or thinking. That's good.
I would say, and you're gonna hear this from like every life coach or, you know, podcast, whatever you guys are on, counselor, but communication is so underrated when you're trying to reach your kids. And I can personally attest to that. Like, it doesn't matter what it's about. I talk to my dad about pretty much everything. And, you know, that's because of the steps he's taken to get me comfortable enough with that. And something just to kind of help parents who are really trying to reach their kids and who haven't, you know, gotten to that stage yet is just the simple question of how is your day, elaborate onto that. Because a lot of the time, you know, when you ask your kid, how is your day, you get, you know, I know exactly how it is. I do that all the time. But asking follow-up questions like, what did you do? When they answer what they did during the day, ask them how it was. Ask them if they got to do anything extra with that. Just show that you're engaged in the conversation. And your kid's going to become more comfortable in each and every conversation you have with them. And the more you guys start talking, the more open they'll be about things, because they don't see you as just a parent. They see you as, you know, a friend in those situations, and a real person when you show you're really interested in that. And a lot of kids will just see their parents as just their parent, but as a parent, you should want them to see you as another person when you're trying to tell them something, because otherwise it's just going to go in one ear, out the other. So building that connection through communication is definitely vital to talking with your kids and working out problems and helping them grow up.
I have one more thing. And then also going back to comparing, like, between times, I would just advise to use context clues in a way. Like, you could say it like that, but you know how when you read the Bible, you can't necessarily take it, like, take the words right off the page. Like, because it was in such a different time, you have to think, like, oh, well, that thing was normal for them. If that's something that would be weird to us, and we're like, why are they doing that? But that was like a normal part of their day. And so you can't dive into the Bible with a pre-understanding. So you can't dive into our problem with a pre-understanding.
That's good. Good. Well, I think that's a great spot for us to land the plane. Can you guys say thank you to this illustrious panel? Thank you guys so much.
We love you.
So, in just a moment, we're gonna take time to pray over Splash Camp. But before we do that, just a couple of notes. Wanted to remind you again, the Uganda team is doing fundraising out in the lobby and on the patio with hot dogs, snow cones, and T-shirts. Also, our 11 o'clock hour, we've got a lot of great groups going on. You can check out your handout for some of those groups. If you don't have a group to go to, you can join me here at 11 o'clock in this room. We're going to do a deep dive study in what the Bible actually says about family structures and family values. It's very subversive, as many of our deep dives are. It's going to be tons of fun, so I'd love to have you back in here at 11 o'clock or some of our other great groups that are going on all over the campus. And so what Don mentioned this just a moment ago, we brought these signs in a day early just so you could put your eyes on them and get a sense for who's going to be in the room in less than 24 hours. And so what I want to invite you to do right now, if you're the praying type, is to pray specifically in the seats that are near you, to pray for the students, the kids and the students that are going to be in these seats tomorrow. And pray that the Lord would bless them, pray that they would grow in their understanding of who they've been made to be, God's love for them, and our love for one another. And so we're just going to take a moment. I would ask you, you can put your hands on the seats if you want to. You can just pray for the space that you're in. And so let's pray, and then I'll kind of conclude in prayer here in just a few moments, all right? So let's take time to pray together for tomorrow. So, Lord, we pray over every child that will be here tomorrow. We pray that you would bless them and keep them, that you would draw them near to you, that they would have a profound understanding of your love for them, your delight in them. That as you draw them near to you, that you also draw them near to others, that you would establish and cultivate deep relationships throughout Splash Camp. Father, we pray for the over 100 volunteers that will be serving this week. We give you thanks for those who have been working tirelessly to plan and to prepare over the last few months, and we pray for your blessing on those who have served and those who will be serving this week, that you would grant them energy, good rest, but also, Lord, that you would give them eyes to see how it is that you are working in the lives of the children who will be blessed this week. We know that you are always on the move. Would you give us eyes to see it? And Lord, I pray for our church family as we think about our relationship, each of us, to the generations that have come before and the generations that have come behind us, that you would increase within us an honor, a love, an admiration, a curiosity, that we might not be a people who speak with dismissal or derision or judgment on those who are not like us, but rather we would approach one another in curiosity as fellow image bearers of God, knowing that you have something to teach each of us about who we are and about who you are, and you often will use people who are very different than us to do that work. And so we lift up this time to you, and we lift up our church family to you. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Amen. Love y'all. We'll see you guys next time.